The Gospel according to Mark chapter 14. This is found on page 40 in the New Testament portion of the Pew Bible before you. Mark chapter 14 will begin at verse 22 and go as far as verse 26. Mark 14, beginning at verse 22. Pay attention, this is the Word of God. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take it, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This ends the reading of God's holy and infallible word. May he bless it to our hearing this day. Well, we find in our text Jesus celebrating the Passover with his disciples in that upper guest room of one of his followers. And in the middle of this meal, the Passover meal, he begins to introduce new actions with new words into the Passover, really instituting a new meal called the Lord's Supper. And as we talked about last week, we're going to slow down and look at each of these particular actions of the Lord, because there is spiritual significance. There are mysteries, divine mysteries being revealed in this supper. And Jesus would have us to meditate on each of these things, not only what he is doing, but what the disciples are doing as well in this meal. We want to look at then this blessing that Jesus declares today. This blessing. He blessed the bread. Now, a blessing consists of three main concepts. And this actually will be the outline of our sermon today. But to bless with valuable gifts to bring meaning and purpose into the life of another. That is blessing. To bless with valuable gifts in order that they can accomplish what it is they are to accomplish. Blessing also consists of this, that to bless means to bring thankful expression for an undeserved gift. And so the first thing is to equip, the second thing is to give thanks, and the third thing that blessing entails is that there's a respectful, a reverent appreciation for the giver of the gift. And so there is equipping, there is thanksgiving, and there is worship, there is honor. Today we see how Jesus taking the bread and blessing it was intended to fulfill all three of these concepts of blessing in the lives of his people through the Lord's Supper. And you need to hear this text today. This text is for you today because in many ways we neglect the blessings that God provides for us. Those things which are meant to draw us closer to God, we neglect. And there's multiple reasons. You forget that God is the origin of all blessing. Or maybe you focus on the blessings instead of the blesser. Or maybe you trust in other things to provide for your life. In all of these ways and in others, we neglect the blessings of God. And so we need this text today. You need this text today. Look to the Lord's Supper then today and see the greatest blessing that God has ever given you, both in this life and in the life to come, in the giving of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. With that, there are three points in our sermon to help guide us through our text. We bless God in the Lord's Supper, we thank God in the Lord's Supper, and we are sanctified unto God in the Lord's Supper. Children, in your bulletin, in your children's bulletin, your kids' bulletin, you'll notice that each of those boxes kind of moves you along these points as well. And so I'll tell you when we're into the next box. But the last box there is a box for you to write how God has taken care of you or provided for you, and to have a conversation with your parents or friends today. Okay? Well, let's go to our first point then, that we bless God in the Lord's Supper. We bless God in the Lord's Supper. Look again at verse 22. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them, and he said, "Take it, this is my body." Jesus displays the bread to his disciples. He holds it up, and then he blesses it. Well, what's going on here? We need to take a step back and understand something of the Jewish custom as it relates to the Word of God in order for us to understand why Jesus is blessing this bread. The concept of blessing, when God blesses us, that means that what God is doing is He equips us, He endows us with some internal ability or some external resource so that we can accomplish what God has called us to do. God equips or endows us with a gift so that we can live the way He calls us to live. In Genesis, when He said to Adam and Isha, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it," it says He blessed them and said. So in other words, He actually He endowed them with the necessary means by which they could be fruitful and multiply. These things come together. God not only commands, but He blesses us. And then think about the things He blesses us with. It's infinite. You could take forever to sit around and think about and count and list all the things that God gives us to bless Him with. Life. That God blesses us with, I should say. Life. And oxygen. And food. And housing. And clothing. And protection. And a spouse. And kids. And a family. Holiness. Strength. Wisdom. Health, wealth, faith, hope, love, joy, peace, patience. I mean, the list goes on and on. God is a God of blessing, and He endows us with provisions and protection so that we can live unto Him. At the end of this worship service and all of our worship services, God pronounces His blessing upon you in the benediction. Which the word benediction means blessing. And so the minister will raise his hand and declare the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, the communion, the experience of salvation by the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. I'm not blessing you. I'm simply declaring God's blessing upon you. And we respond in blessing God. But it's important to understand this, that why is there a benediction at the end of the service? Because you've been sitting here and hearing how God calls you to faith. He calls you to believe things in His Word. And He calls you to action. He calls you to life. But in order for you to believe those things and to live those ways, you need to be blessed so that you can walk out of here in faith and in life according to His Word. Do you see that? God then blesses you. One of the key components, I remember one time hearing a pastor say this, one of the key components of our spiritual warfare as Christians is the benediction. We are blessed by God, and so we can go out of here protected by Him in this grace, in this love, in this communion. And so therefore, this idea of consecration, dedication, sanctification, being set apart is tied to the concept of blessing. That's when God blesses us. But then the scripture talks about us blessing God. What's going on when we bless God? Well, in this way, God doesn't need anything. We don't need to endow God or give Him gifts so that He can do what He needs to do. Instead, we boast in God. We praise God. We acknowledge that God is truly the blesser of life and all things. We confess
God, you are blessed. Meaning that all of the source and fountain of all blessing in my life comes from you. Everything is yours. You are blessed. If anyone possesses blessing, it is you, God.
One pastor says it this way. When we say things like, let us exalt God, or I magnify the Lord, we are not making God higher or larger. We're not the ones involved in God's exaltation or the magnificence of God, but we are recognizing and expressing God's magnificence and exaltation. And when we say, God, you are blessed, or blessed be God, or blessed be the name of God, we're drawing attention to the fact that He is the source and the foundation of all things. Therefore, thanksgiving and gratitude are tied into the concept of our blessing God. So, let's consider food. Let's consider food. According to the scriptures, food and blessing are really connected together, because what's going on here is God is the one who's brought this food and put it on our table. Yes, through means, obviously. But really, God is the provider of all things. And so, we dare not take that food without first acknowledging the one who has provided the food for us. The Jews were not saying in their prayers, God, bless this food. They were actually saying in their prayers, we bless you, God, for the food that you've given to us. That's how we are to bless or pronounce the blessing when it comes to our mealtime. God, you are blessed. Psalm 24, verse 1 is a very popular Jewish blessing that's pronounced. The earth is Yahweh's and the fullness thereof. That's what we say before we eat this food. We receive your blessing with thanksgiving. We commit this meal to our nourishment so we can perform our daily labors. And we commit this meal to friendship, because there is a fellowship that's going on at this table. That's to glorify you. That's what's going on when we bless our meals. So why is Jesus then, now let's bring it to this very night, now we're in the upper room, why is Jesus blessing this bread? Well, Jesus is blessing not the bread. And that's where we need to understand this. He's blessing God. He's blessing God for being the source of the salvation of His people. Father, you are blessed. Everything belongs to you. Even my salvation, even me. This is what we are to say as we come to this table and see the blessing, or hear the blessing, I should say, pronounced. Psalm 3, verse 8. Salvation belongs to Yahweh. Your blessing be upon your people. See, there is a connection. We bless God because He blesses us. So Jesus is blessing God for the source of our salvation. Secondly, Jesus is revealing spiritual realities through physical elements. He's revealing spiritual realities. Just as Jesus blessed the bread before He broke it, the Heavenly Father blessed His Son with a body and a soul, with flesh and blood, in order to sacrificially break it, to shed it, and to redeem His people. So just as Jesus declared the blessing and gave thanks for the bread, we're going to talk about thanks in a minute, so He's also giving thanks to the Father who He's blessing for the body that He's given Him. And this is how we come to the Lord's Supper. We bless God. We acknowledge that everything belongs to Him. Our salvation, us, me, I belong to God. We also look beyond the physical elements by faith to see the spiritual feeding that's taking place. Christ's broken body, Christ shed blood. He is my life. And so I consume Him through faith and I live. What keeps you from blessing God?
What keeps you from acknowledging God as the source and fountain of all the things that you have? Some of you lack a sense of awe, a sense of the wonder and the worship of God. You continue throughout your daily life and you nod your head at God when it's appropriate to do so. But you just continue in this life, not really declaring the blessing of God, not getting excited and joyful about God's provision in your life. If you do not see God as the source of all provision, the fountain of all resources, the giver of all ability of life itself, then you will not bless God. You will not acknowledge His blessings to you. And so, even the passage today is calling you to recognize God as the source of all life. That's the first point. We bless God in the Lord's Supper. Now we move to our second point. I want to open this up further. Children, we're moving to the second box now. We thank God in the Lord's Supper. We thank God in the Lord's Supper. To bless is to also offer up thanksgiving to God. It's that we actually approach Him with a thankful attitude. If you want to, help remember it, we approach Him in an attitude of gratitude. Nice rhyming words. It's interesting when you actually take all four accounts of the Lord's Supper and lay them side by side. The four accounts, interestingly, might not be where you think they are. There's Matthew and Mark and Luke and 1 Corinthians. John doesn't actually have a Lord's Supper in his text, but Paul does in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And when you lay those side by side, you see that when it comes to this portion, Jesus taking the bread and then doing something, declaring something, Matthew and Mark tell us that Jesus gave the blessing, or He pronounced a blessing. But Luke and Paul actually use a different word, that Jesus gave thanks. Jesus gave thanks. That's not to say that this is not a contradiction, as if, in this context, they're blessing and this, He's giving thanks. Oh, say I told you the Gospels are wrong. No, actually, what we're seeing are two sides of the same coin, two emphases here. One is blessing and one is thanksgiving. To bless God is not only to declare His abundance, but to declare that abundance in thanksgiving. 1 Timothy 4 says this, "For everything created by God is good, and nothing that is concerning food is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified or set apart by means of the word of God and prayer." And there we are hearing that actually God has intended to set this, whatever we're going to be eating, apart for our nourishment. It's not just, doesn't belong to the field anymore. It doesn't belong to the produce aisle anymore. It belongs to us now. It's been set apart for our nourishment. But we do what? We receive it with gratitude or thanksgiving. Deuteronomy 8 verse 10, you remember God's telling them that I'm going to give you all the things of this land and you're going to eat them. And when you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. And the idea here, this is the word for blessing. But the idea here is that they're giving thanks to Him. They're acknowledging that all things come from Him. So what does it mean to give thanks? What does it mean to be thankful? We have a day that comes around every year. We call it Thanksgiving. And in that day, often you'll hear maybe people say, "What are you thankful for?" And they'll tell you they'll focus on the provisions, won't they? Instead of actually focusing on the provider of all things, they focus on the things. But to give thanks is to demonstrate joyful appreciation for an undeserved gift to the giver. It's to demonstrate joyful appreciation for an undeserved gift to the giver. You're not just simply, You're not consciously aware of the gift, and that's what thankfulness is. You're not just expressing a feeling, I feel thankful. No. If you're to give thanks, it's actually a way of life. We don't just give thanks, we live thanks. An expression joyfully to God. And whatever area of your life you are walking in without being thankful, without thanksgiving, that's an area in your life where you're walking in unbelief. This is the part of the gospel that often gets neglected in our American Christianity. The gospel is three parts: guilt, grace, and gratitude. Sin, salvation, and service. See, we want God to take up that third part, to serve us, to be the one who not only provides for our salvation, but continues to provide for us. Instead of understanding that the gospel is actually saying that we have been saved unto service to God. We have been saved unto a life of gratitude and worship, service, and obedience. We were not redeemed to get room service. We were redeemed for service unto God. And Jesus gives thanks to His Father for this bread and wine and that which was indicated by those elements. That is, His sacrifice. Jesus gives thanks. Jesus thanked His Heavenly Father for all of the riches and blessings that were stored up in God. That God, in all of the riches and blessings that He possessed, He gave His only begotten Son, His most valued gift, to rid the world of sin and death. And so Jesus thanked Him. Jesus gave thanks that God had made the gospel clear with this visible sermon before the people, with bread and wine, before His disciples, revealing to them a broken body, a shed blood for their salvation. These were signs directing us to the redemption by God, to the reconciliation that we have with God at a table, to the restoration we have in God and that we eat with Him. And so Jesus gave thanks. Jesus gave thanks that this meal was a seal of our salvation. And by seal, the scripture means an assurance. It says God put His own signature on this meal. This is mine, and it is for you. And I promise not just this, but I promise the things that are presented and pictured in this. Your salvation, and your growth, and your nourishment. He's given to us a guarantee of our nourishment. He's given to us a guarantee of our fellowship with Him, of our eternal life in Him. One Puritan says this: if Christ gave thanks, who was to have His body broken, how may we give thanks, who are to eat it? Jesus is giving thanks, how much more ought we to give thanks? And so we not only bless God in the supper, but we not only bless God in the supper that is declaring Him to be the source of all provision, but we also thank God, for we do not deserve the least of His provision and protection, and yet we have it. In fact, the Greek word for giving thanks is Eucharistia. And that's why some people call the Lord's Supper the Eucharist. It's a meal of thanksgiving. That's the idea. And what keeps you then from giving thanks to God? Sometimes it's easy to focus on the provision instead of the provider. To live as if every day were Thanksgiving, and we like to tell people what we're thankful for, but not to whom we are thankful. Sometimes it's worse. We're simply ungrateful. We don't even acknowledge the giver of the gift. This is what Israel themselves got caught up in when they were saved and delivered from the slavery that they had in Egypt. And they were carried out into the wilderness. And, wilderness are not full of apple trees and produce where you can just eat whatever you want. There's nothing but sand. And what did God do? He provided for them daily bread. Daily bread. It says in Numbers 11, the rabble who were among them had greedy desires, and also the sons of Israel wept again and said, who will give food to eat? We remember the fish which we used to eat free in Egypt, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our appetite is gone. There's nothing at all to look at except this manna. What hardened hearts. What unthankfulness. What ingratitude. This is not the joyful expressions of undeserved gifts to the giver. This is calling divine daily provisions nothing. Nothing? Nothing? This is the height of arrogance and pride. God is causing them to live and to move. He set them free. Do you remember what they were saying while they were in slavery? Oh God, when will you come and save us? And now they're saying, oh, I don't like this. Remember when we had all the things we wanted in Egypt? Don't we do that? Isn't the way we become free in Christ, we experience salvation, and some days we longingly look at the days when we were in sin and slavery. Don't be deceived, Christian. There is nothing there for you but death and slavery. I remember one time when I was working as a nurse, and it was my shift, and I came on and I was taking care of this lady who had just received CPR the night before. She was dead. And they did CPR for like 15 minutes and she came back to life. She revived because of CPR. And that woman was so ungrateful. Oh, I can't believe they broke a rib. Oh, I can't, you know, I won't even go into all the things she said, but the point is that she was just a very unhappy person. She thought that she deserved to be revived. And so because of that, she actually couldn't be thankful. She couldn't be thankful for the life that she still had. Even her son would confront her and tell her, Mom, you're alive. I'm so thankful you're still here. He could express thankfulness. Why? Because he knew that she didn't deserve to be kept alive. Let us not be those who receive life and then complain about it. Well, that's the second point, that we are thankful unto God in the Lord's Supper. Now there's a third point, that we are sanctified unto God. Children are moving to the third box. We are sanctified unto God in the Lord's Supper. To bless can be understood then as equipping. To bless can be understood as thanksgiving. But to bless can also be understood as being set apart. In other words, God blesses you. He provides you with skills and strength so that you particularly can accomplish the task that you were made for. You receive air and food and shelter so that you can perform your 6 days of labor unto God and your one day of worshipful rest. You receive a benediction so that you can live your life this week according to this word in His name. That you could experience His protection against the world and the flesh and the devil. Jesus is setting apart this bread and this cup unto a sacramental use. And that's the language you'll often hear, that He took the bread and blessed it. And then we give thanks to God and we bless God and we say, now God, set apart these elements unto a sacramental use, from a common to a sacramental use. I think what's going on here, that here was pictured in simple and common elements, bread and cup, the profound and sacred work of Jesus Christ on behalf of sinners. in his sacrifice. And why did he go through such a sacrifice? Not to set apart bread and wine. Not to add significance to bread and wine, but rather to set you apart. To save you. Jesus went through the sacrifice. This meal is pointing to what Jesus did for you. Everything belongs to the Lord, including all those who trust in Jesus' broken body and shed blood to completely save you. In baptism, we are shown the new birth. We are shown the cleansing of sins. We are shown our union with Christ. And in this supper, we are shown the death that secures our life, the nourishment and growth that we have in Christ Jesus. Just as the bread is dedicated unto God, so we are shown how we are dedicated unto God's service. Jesus gave his life so you could give your life. And Jesus denied himself so that you could deny yourself. So we see the bread dedicated. Just as there is blessing of one loaf also, so we are shown how the body of Christ is blessed into unity. And this might be confusing because you think, well, I look at the bread and Jesus is saying, this is my body. How is this also a picture of the church? But that's the exact application that Paul takes from this meal. Christ's body is broken so that his body, the church, can be brought together and made one. And so he says in 1 Corinthians 10 that we are looking at, we who are many look to this one bread and are made one in Christ. That's the idea. There's a reason why Christ calls the church his body. Which is interesting because on the one hand, it's broken. But on the other hand, it's resurrected and brought to life and brought into unity. And that's a picture of the restoration of the church. You know the question I'm going to ask next? What keeps you from living a holy life unto God? What keeps you from blessing God? What keeps you from giving thanks to God? But what keeps you from living in this sanctified and set apart life as one who is dedicated unto God? Some of you have been fooled into thinking that something else or someone else provides you with what you need in this life. For sure, God, even in his blessing you, has set up means. Children, every one of you experience your parents providing for you. But don't just look at your parents providing for you. Look at the God who provides for you through your parents and give thanks to him. The temptation for all of us who come to this table is to not commune with God, but rather to simply ease our conscience. Well, I'm a disciple. I'm a Christian. I'm a member of the church. We're supposed to go up to communion. I'm just going to go up to communion. This is a time of actually communing with God, of recognizing your dedication unto him, of being set apart unto him. Don't just go through the motions, but really think about the holy life and the commitments that you're called to at this meal. We can easily operate in an idolatrous way of thinking, that we can forget that this table belongs to God. He is the host and we are the guests. Therefore, he is the one who provides and we are the ones who receive. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, that passage I just quoted, he actually starts with this: therefore, my beloved, free from idolatry. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we not stronger? We are not stronger than he, are we? You remember in the passage in Deuteronomy chapter 8, that those who were sacrificing their children to the false gods and to the idols. We're sacrificing them to demons. What would bring someone to sacrifice their child to a demon? It's because if you live your life thinking that God will favor you, if you actually give to Him what's most valuable to you, then He must favor you if you kill your children, the most valuable thing. That's not what's going on in the gospel. God secures a holy life for us. He makes us dedicated to Him. It's the broken body and the shed blood of Christ that actually causes us to be able to live a holy life. He is our blessing so that we are blessed unto a holy life. Let us not come to this table then and think that somehow this is what will make God favor us. God favors us, and so we come to this table. That's the point. Well, let me bring all this to a conclusion then. It's easy for us to forget that God is the fountain of all life. And that will keep you from exclaiming that God Himself is the blesser of life. It's easy to focus on the blessings of life and forget or neglect the blesser of all life. And that will keep you from expressing thanksgiving unto God. It's easy to trust in idols. To think that your provision comes from something or someone else. To live for something or someone else. And this will keep you from living a life of holy service unto God. But look at what God has provided to help us in those temptations and in those patterns of life. He's provided for us a meal of blessing. He's provided for us a meal of thanksgiving. He's provided for us a holy bread and a holy cup so that we could continue in dedication to God. So we could recommit ourselves in dedication to God. So that we could bless God. So that God's name would be exalted and lifted up in our eyes. So that we would see our salvation in Him and be thankful people. This meal is actually intended to do the very opposite that we give natural propensities to. We are people who don't go to God. And so He says, come to this meal and I'll remind you why you come to Me. God has given us a meal, given you a meal to bless you, to equip you with strength and skill as you commune with Jesus in the supper. And He visits you at this table. He visits you so that you can rise from this table and go out into the world, blessing God, thanking God, and living as one dedicated unto God. What a meal. What a blessing this meal is for us then. Amen.